Good afternoon, everybody. In your preliminary meditation, if you find you are unable to make God contact, there are things that you must do about it. Now, usually, we do not make God contact unless we have fulfilled certain requirements. The lack of God contact is the separation or division from divine power. And we are not an instrument for that divine power if we meditate as a mortal human being. There's no contact between the Father and a mortal human being. And you might as well face it, you cannot, as a mortal being, be in contact with God. You cannot be a mortal being and expect divine power to express in you, through you, and as you. And so when you sit down to meditate, even with the best of intentions, if you're carrying with you the concept that little you, the person who goes to work in the morning or the person who stays at home and takes care of the house, is going to now meditate, you're wasting time. Oh, you might get a quiet. You might get a feeling of no pressure. But you're not going to make the God contact. You've got to sit down with a consciousness that I am the child of God. There's no contact otherwise. And you cannot be a human being and the child of God. We've all been trying to be both human and divine, as if humanhood is a passing phase we go through in order to attain a sense of divinity. That isn't true. We're not going through humanhood. The child of God is not human. The Father has no human children and never has had any. Now let us suppose that you were on the last 25% of this lifespan. Many of us are. Now according to the authorities, there are various ways we can pass out of this lifespan. They have all of these methods by which we can lose this life. It can come through a disease. It can come through a war. It can come through alcohol. It can come through drugs. It can come through accident. It can come in at least 400 or 500 different ways. And so if you were to make up a chart which says, these are the killers of man, you would list all of the physical methods, all of the emotional methods, all of the mental methods, and you would say these are the most likely causes. And in that chart, after you had completed it, you would have left out the only killer of man that there is. You'll never see a chart which is made up by science or religion listing the causes of death which will be accurate. The only cause of death is that God did not create a human being. That is the only cause of death there is. And when you face it, you must go that extra step. Who am I? If God is no respecter of persons, if God says henceforth, know ye no man after the flesh, am I not being told that there are no human children, and that I, the child of God, must be something else? The child of God does not die. There are no causes for the death of the child of God, because the child of God is immortal now. When you meditate, if you're not that immortal child, who is meditating? Someone uncreated by God. And how can creation pour into uncreation? You see, your separation is before you even start to meditate. And so we need this new comforter. The comforter who will bring all things unto remembrance. And then we shall hear the voice. As we are in divine sonship, living it, rejecting all that disclaims our sonship, rejecting even the mind that says we are not the divine son, rejecting every appearance that says we are not the divine son, then we are living faithfully as the divine image and likeness. We are rejecting Antichrist. We are rejecting the universal belief that God created something that can die. We live in that consciousness. We earn the right to hear the voice, to be in oneness with the Father. Then it says, what we hear here in the 14th chapter of John. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now this peace then, which the Father gives, is not as the world gives. This peace has a meaning beyond all else. We are told here, and we must never take this statement out of context. When you do, you don't have the fullness of it. When you see it, where it is in this chapter with what is around it, what leads up to it, the advent of the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, bringing all things unto remembrance, then you have the full scope of that peace. Bringing all things unto remembrance, bringing you back to the conscious knowledge that your life did not begin at a time and a place. Before Abraham was, your life is. We're not speaking of this form now, we're speaking of your life. And the Comforter brings to remembrance that your life, being the life of God, is without beginning, without the possibility of sickness, without the possibility of creature limitations. And the realization of that life, which is life eternal, is my peace. My peace is not as the world giveth. The world gives you a lifespan. My peace gives you life without end. My peace is the realization that the life of God is your life. My peace is the end of the search. There's nothing more to look for. It is all yours. My peace is the realization that there's no distance between God and my being. There's no time between God and my being. There's no absence of God. There's no moment when God is present and another moment when God is absent. My peace is permanent, beyond the grave, beyond the lifespan. My peace is the now realization. Thou seest me, thou seest the life of the Father. It isn't something you memorize. The peace that you receive from the Comforter is the realization of your permanent self. That permanent self is not going to become you tomorrow. That permanent self is all that you can ever be and ever have been. And that permanent self, being imperishable, is not a mortal self. Every word that you utter, every thought that you accept, every appearance to which you respond, which is directed at the impermanent you, is your denial of your own identity. And that's why we all go round this merry-go-round of matter. We're not living in the conscious awareness that I am not a human being. We're all accepting that we are human beings. And in that we're saying, being a human being, I am not the Christ of God. You see then, when you choose which you are choosing everything that you will experience. You're even choosing the universe you live in. When you choose humanhood, you're choosing the world. When you choose Christhood, you're in truth. And you're choosing the universe of Christ. You're choosing the kingdom of God. For you, the kingdom of God is not tomorrow. It is now where Christ is. For you, the qualities of God are not tomorrow. They are now where Christ is. And the deepening awareness that where Christ is, I am. Where God is, I am. Where the kingdom of God is, I am, becomes an experience. Peace is an experience. It is an infinite awareness that I am the living Spirit of God, that I move and have my being in the kingdom of God. And this is it. I'm not going there tomorrow. I'm not going there after death. I'm not going there because I'm going to live an exemplary human life. This is it. That's who you must be when you meditate. Then meditation is merely the acceptance of your identity, where you are, where God is, the nature of God, the qualities of God, the all-presence of God. You're accepting infinity. Infinity is the measure of God. Infinity is the measure of sun. Here where I am is the miracle of infinity. Nothing is missing. Now look at it another way. The entire Christ message is that God is all. Where can error be if God is all? Where can matter be if God is all? Where can mortality be if God is all? God is not error. God is not mortal. God is not material. Where are these things if God is all? When you accept error, matter, mortality, you are denying the allness of God. And you're walking in the hypnotized mind which does not know or experience the allness of God. In that mind, you cannot have my peace. You earn my peace by living in the knowledge that God being all, matter which is not God, is not where God is. Error which is not God, is not where God is. Corporeality which is not God, is not where God is. Other powers powers of evil, which are not God, cannot exist where God is. You reconcile yourself to your perfect universe where you are. God being all, there is no place in your consciousness for error, for matter, for division, for separation, for evil, for sickness, for death. Where can these occur if God is all? And as you maintain fidelity to the allness of God, you can finally come to the conviction that God being everywhere, there's no place for error to be. There's no place for anything ungodly to be. You have come upon that great understanding that where these things appear to be, there must be a mind perceiving them. And the mind perceiving them has no real existence either. Because God being all, there being no darkness in God, the Father being too pure to behold iniquity, the mind which beholds that which is not God is a mind that has no real existence. You're facing the fact that there's a you with a mind that has no real existence. It perceives what God did not place there. You're looking out of a mind that is mortal, and there is no mind that is mortal. It never has existed. It sees what God didn't place there. It's never in peace for that reason. Its sense of peace is always impermanent, never deep, never forever. So we look at this mortal mind and we recognize that the mind I have, looking out at the world, is non-mind. It is the mind of the Antichrist. And I've got to face this. The day must come to face this. The human mind is Antichrist. It does not see Christ. It does not know Christ. It does not know God. While we are dwelling in human thought, we are totally controlled. There is an activity going on, an activity which exceeds all human understanding. It is an activity of which we are not conscious. The power of that activity is so great in our consciousness that it actually becomes us. It becomes our consciousness. The world consciousness becomes your consciousness. The world consciousness makes your heart beat. The world consciousness moves blood through your veins. God isn't doing it. If God were doing it, God would never stop doing it. The complete human body is developed and evolved out of the world consciousness. It is maintained up to a degree by the world consciousness, and then that same world consciousness that creates the human body destroys it. This is the fate of every body born of the world consciousness. It is destroyed by its own creator. We've been blaming God for all this because we had been unaware of the world consciousness. We hadn't reach the level where we could receive the Comforter. But this is the age of the Comforter. We've come of age. The world consciousness is that which eclipses the divine consciousness. Just as the heavenly body moves across the sun and the sun is blacked out, or earth passes between the moon and the sun and the moon is blacked out, so world consciousness blacks out for us the divine self. And it recreates this self that we walk around in, calling it our self, this mortal being. This mortal being is the creation of the world consciousness. This mind that runs this mortal being is the accomplice of the world consciousness. It is the instrument of the world consciousness. It doesn't take its orders from God. It doesn't know God. It's under the delusion that it knows God. But it has no capacity to right the wrongs of the world consciousness. It is a prisoner. It doesn't recognize its own adversary. And while you and I walk the streets, we are world consciousness appearing as mortal beings who have been persuaded that in some way we are the divine image and likeness, even though every one of these divine images and likenesses is to be destroyed by the world consciousness that created it. It is only when we come out of that brainwashing to prepare the way for the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost, the new Comforter, that the light of God within us dissolves that which has eclipsed the divine consciousness. And the light shining through reveals, I am not this mortal self at all. I do not live in this mortal body. I do not have a mortal mind. I am and always have been the living child of God, a completely different self than the one that has lived to this point in time and space. You begin to open to being that divine Son, which has no human birth, no human death. You begin to see merit in the statement of Paul's to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. But now we're going a step further than being absent from the body. You can't be absent from the body when you're in a human mind. You must be absent from the mind to be absent from the body. You must be absent from the carnal mind. Then you're absent from the carnal body. And you must be absent from the carnal body to be in the Christ body. Always, we're grateful to Paul. In Ephesians 4:4, we have this statement. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Unless we are in the Christ mind, we never become aware of that one infinite body. We live in separated, recreated bodies of the world consciousness. We do not know my peace. But my peace comes to those who have been living in the awareness that Spirit, being all, this is where my fidelity lies. Spirit is all. the belief in the power of evil and the power of good, or two powers, is removed by the knowledge that spirit is all. There is no good power of matter. There is no evil power of matter. There is no good matter and no evil matter. You look through without judgment. And if the path you have selected is to walk in the kingdom of God, you do not walk today consciously in a material universe. That is not where you are. Last week we learned to look at truth. This week is the other side of the coin. We're looking at truth not from the standpoint of the human mind, at truth from the standpoint of God. We're looking at divine truth. And there are no human footsteps in divine truth. You cannot find any. In a spiritual universe, there is only your Father's Spirit. And if you think you're not in a spiritual universe, then you're in division. You're on the merry-go-round. Your peace will be temporary. Your peace will not be the peace that passeth all understanding. Your peace will simply be that kind of peace which is better humanhood, a better human life. You all know by now that we're not here for that. A better human life is the trap. Why? Because when you seek a better human life, what are you saying? You're saying you are not the Christ. You are not the divine Son. You're saying God is not your Father. Well, then why come to a spiritual message? The purpose of the spiritual message is to lift our vision to truth that is divine, not concept. To lift our vision to life that is eternal, not temporary. To realize the teaching of Christ, not to talk about it. To learn how to live it. To experience it. And so every time you make the mistake of saying you want to make something better in your human life, you're falling into a trap. It's a very normal desire, but it isn't for those who have received the inner knowledge that Spirit is my name. They don't waste a moment trying to improve their human situation. Why? Because there isn't any. It's an illusion. Not that they're indifferent to their human situation, but because they know this is the trap of the mind. The mind sets before us a desirable human situation. And as you move toward it to attain it, you're not being the spiritual child of God. And even when you attain it, you've got your claws into something that isn't going to remain permanent. It's going to be destroyed someday. We're not looking for the kingdom that can be destroyed. We don't want temporary possessions. We are seeking to walk in that which is now present called the kingdom of God. And we can't walk in it as mortal beings. We can only walk in it as the Spirit. For this is a spiritual universe. And what is not spirit only seems to be. You notice that the Master here is on his way to crucifixion. But he stops long enough to have a long discourse. In fact, it's taken us 4 weeks to come through the 14th chapter. a long discourse to prepare those who are moving into spiritual awareness for his resurrection and the understanding of its meaning. He's teaching each of us that we are going through a period of transformation. The transformation is not the transformation of our reality, but it's the transformation of our false consciousness to our true consciousness. In human consciousness, we are in the false, which knows not the Father nor the kingdom of the Father. In our Christ consciousness, we have stepped out of the false, out of the transient. We walk in a perfect universe, which is heaven on earth, in my peace, without disturbance, without the need to plan, without effort, under grace, being fed by the infinite, by the eternal, so that all things happen under the divine plan and the divine will in the divine sequence, expressing outwardly as what the world would call harmony. And yet, we do not seek that harmony. We do not entreat for that harmony. We do not plan for that harmony. It simply is the nature of divinity. Divinity expresses as harmony. But to seek that harmony, to seek human betterment, is the way you push that harmony away. Because the moment you seek it, you are unaware that it is the natural quality of you now. And you're only seeking it because you're not knowing who you are now. When you are Christ, you don't seek human betterment. When you are Christ, you're not seeking human improvements. And as long as you're seeking them, you are boldly declaring, I am not the Christ. And the whole Christ message is that you are. Not that you will become, not that you will earn the right to be the Christ, not that God will suddenly appoint you, but that you are. My peace I give unto you. I give it unto you who know you are the Christ. And when you know you are the Christ, you are in the kingdom of heaven on earth. And for you, the whole world of matter is an appearance only in the human mind, which is the anti-Christ mind, which knoweth not the Father. And because for you, Spirit is all, God is all, whatever appears that is not Spirit, the total world that appears to you is not here. The world cannot be here if you dwell in your Christ awareness. You will still have a body moving through that world that is not here. That will not be your body. That will be the outer appearance of your consciousness to man. We walk in the Christ body. We step out of the concept called human body. We step out of the concept called human mind. We find ourselves not in these things until that self that we find is a real self, a self we know exists. That self is my peace. That self is independent of the world. That self is always present. That self can say, I am infinity here and now. That is yourself, the infinity of God expressing here and now, not in form, not in human mind, not in the world. For you there is no form, no mind, no world, there is your being. My peace breaks the illusion of the world. My peace removes the karma of 100 lifespans. My peace takes time and space and reveals that they do not exist. Only the eternal and the infinite are here. Now this is different truth than mind truth. This is the truth in which grace functions. This is the truth in which Christ pushes back the mountain, in which Christ parts the Red Sea, in which Christ raises the dead. Why? Because there were no dead. Because there was no Red Sea. Because there was no mountain. These were the appearances of the world consciousness. The Christ mind is not barricaded by all physical appearances of the world mind. The Christ mind does not know there's a wall to walk through. The Christ mind does not know there's an ocean to walk upon. The Christ mind does not know there is someone sick or someone dying. The Christ mind does not know that there are continents separated by oceans. The Christ mind knows the one infinite body and knows it now and never leaves it. And that Christ mind, knowing the one infinite body, appears to human sense as what the human considers a harmonious physical body. A body that appears to be under grace. The Christ mind does not waste a moment in the world. And then comes your great secret. And this is something that you must know. Something you must come to know well. Your substance becomes every form you need. The grace of Christ being your sufficiency in all things, your substance, which is Christ, your substance, which is the Holy Ghost, becomes every form you need. There is no need that you have which is not made and formed of your own Christ substance. When you're living in your Christ awareness, your form changes, your environment changes, your substance becomes an invisible spiritual activity which appears as a new home. Your substance becomes an invisible spiritual activity which appears as a heart that functions well. Your substance becomes an invisible spiritual activity that appears as a new working organ, so that that very heart which didn't beat well yesterday beats well today. Your substance becomes new tissue. Always the invisible activity of your substance appears through human consciousness as a new revitalized you. Nothing is impossible to the living spiritual substance of being. It is the kingdom. And when we find our own substance as Christ, our substance is the very grace unto all that we are. My peace is my substance realized as your substance. When you know that you are Christ's substance, and that Christ is the infinite individuality of God, that all that the Father hath is functioning as the Christ of your own substance, then you know that grace is ever present. You know the meaning of immanence, of Emmanuel, of omnipresence as a fact, not as a word. Now you will find that your conscious awareness of this grows. The awareness that I need take no thought for this lifespan. I need take no thought for my business. I need take no thought for my marriage. I need take no thought for my children. I am the substance of God. That substance is perfect. If I don't eclipse it with human thought and blot it out of my experience, it will form itself invisibly as spiritual manifestation. And that spiritual manifestation, which is the Holy Ghost, will appear visibly to human sense as that which I need, called the added thing. This is the miracle of my substance. Everything comes out of your substance, or it comes out of the world consciousness, and then it's in division and cannot function under grace. My peace then takes me into self-realization. Now I know that all of us have a mixture of divine and human. That is our division. The human is something superimposed upon us by world belief. The divine is the truth, the reality. And we find that everything in our lives that we consider to be part of our being, part of our experience, in the mystical light of truth, is revealed to be only our own consciousness turned into the visible world. It's like that reversible raincoat. Your consciousness turned outside becomes your experience, your life. Your own business is in your consciousness. Your form is in your consciousness. Your marriage is in your consciousness. Your family is in your consciousness. There isn't a thing in your world, including the world itself, that exists outside of your consciousness. Your consciousness is every moment of your world. And if that consciousness is not divine, then you're not living in the creation, but you're living in that which is the re-creation of the world consciousness. And as you live in re-creation, you're in the good and evil, the two powers, corporeality, life and death, sickness, disease, disaster, destruction, the good and the bad, the opposites. Now take your business. You think it's out there. Now think of it for a moment as not being out there. Think of all the physical things that you own in that business and try to see that God did not create them. The building can burn down. The vehicles can have accidents. The assets can melt away. God created nothing in your business. The world consciousness through you created it. And the world consciousness through you can also uncreate it. And someday will. Now try to see that business exists only in your consciousness. Because God not having put it there, it isn't where you think it is. It can't exist where God didn't put it. And if God put it there, it would be forever and forever perfect. That means it exists in your thought. It exists in your thought, and you think it's at a certain address. You think it's a building. You think it has certain physical qualities. But all of that, mystically, is in your thought. Now, the quality of your thought is the quality of that business. If there are certain qualities in your thought, those qualities appear as the sturdiness, the progressiveness, the dependability of that business. But unless those qualities are divine, that business is not under grace. That business can lack one day. That business can be successful for a moment, for a year, for 10. And then it can be subject to the whims of the world conditions. Now suppose you could bring that business under grace, so that no matter what happened in the world, it would be sustained by the invisible activity of spirit. Your substance, your divine substance, becomes the invisible activity of spirit, which outwardly then becomes your business. That would mean that your consciousness would have to be separated from the world consciousness. You have to learn how to do that. When you separate your consciousness from the world consciousness, you bring your business under divine consciousness, under grace. And because the mind of the Father, the power of the Father, the presence of the Father becomes the law unto you. It becomes the law unto your consciousness. And just as your human consciousness had outpictured the kind of business you had, now your divine consciousness outpictures what appears to be a same physical business, but it isn't. It is now the divine consciousness made manifest. And it is under grace. It is maintained by invisible spiritual activity. Your substance unfolds as the business. Between your substance and the business, there is no separation. It is one continuous activity of the Father, appearing only because the world mind is going to look at your invisible consciousness and see your visible business. My peace maintains everything that emanates from the divine consciousness. There isn't anything that is in the divine consciousness that is under the powers of this world. A fire cannot burn down a business that is directed by divine consciousness. A flood cannot come through such a piece of property. There is no possible destruction to that which divine consciousness outpictures. And divine consciousness is the only reality of your consciousness in Christ. Now this is the age in which what had seemed to be miracles of yesterday are going to be made visible as commonplace events. You will discover that things that seemed impossible only were impossible in the human sense of things, in the human mind, which had not received the Comforter, which knew nothing of my peace. And my peace is introduced to us now, at this moment, to make us all aware that there is a divine grace functioning in the human consciousness when it steps aside and permits divine consciousness to be the only consciousness there. To be Christed, to be ordained, to be anointed, is the acceptance that there is no mortal being here. Don't make your business the business of a mortal being. Don't make your marriage the marriage of two mortal beings. Don't make your children mortal beings. Don't make anything about your life mortal, because it's untrue, it's transient, it's not of God, it does not have the divine blessing. But when you are willing to accept yourself as the Spirit, the child of God, you have the total divine blessing. Everything you do is under ordination and must prosper in the divine plan. Everything. Bring everything you know into that awareness that I am the Spirit of God. You know, it is often thought that Jesus did all that healing, and you know better. It was the absence of Jesus which did the healing. Jesus represents the place on this earth where there was no me. There was only Christ. But the way shower was teaching us that when you want grace, there must be a place where you stand where there's no you. There's only Christ. That's the healing. When there's no you but Christ, just as there was no Jesus but Christ, then the Father within can do the works, because the Father within is Christ. Then the Father within shows you why I, Christ, in you can heal the sick. I, Christ, in you can raise the dead. I, Christ, in you can open the eyes of the blind. Didn't I show you I can do it? Am I different now? Am I not the Christ of your being? I, Christ, in you. Why don't you let me run your business? Why don't you let me run your marriage? Why don't you let me run every relationship you have? And behold, the perfection of Christ in you becomes the perfection expressed in the visible. Don't try to be human and divine. You can't be both. You can't be a divided self. And your secret then is you are divine. And I say secret because it takes a long time to come to the willingness to accept divinity. Let's not push that on anyone else. We will either accept it for ourselves and for all we know, but we will never try to push it upon them. It takes years to build the awareness of how to accept divinity with humility, with obedience, with a consecration that is all within. The new comforter, says the Master here, which is the Holy Ghost, and that's an extension of the previous statement, the Spirit of Truth was the Comforter. Now you know the Spirit of Truth is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now how does the Father send in my name? We're being told that the Father, which is unconditioned infinite Spirit, has an instrument through which the Father works, and that instrument is your Christ self. Your Christ self must be the Holy Ghost. Your Christ self must include the Holy Ghost. Your Christ self is the perfect instrument through which the Father functions. The Father sends in my name. The Father sends that instrument which is the Christ mind through which you receive the Father. He shall teach you all things. Clearly, the Christ mind enables you to be taught all things. Without it, you're in the world consciousness, separated, divided. Only in the Christ mind can you be taught all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, so that you meet Christ out here in a book, or if you walk the streets of Jerusalem. But now you meet Christ within yourself, and Christ within you reminds you of those days, of the words said out here, of the deeds shown out here. Christ within you reminds you, brings them to remembrance means repeats them, does them again. Christ in you pushes back the mountain. Christ in you solves the insoluble problem. Christ in you reveals that what you thought was a division of good and evil is only invisible perfection waiting to be manifest through your Christ mind. Brings to remembrance all things. And so Christ in you reveals my kingdom. Christ in you reveals why the world was under the illusion that there were 400 or 500 ways to die, when all there is the life, the substance of God where you are. All things that are not of the Father are revealed to be non-existent. Christ in you then becomes your illumination. How many times when you received a phone call did you, before you picked up that phone, remind yourself that where that call was coming from, only God could be? Try it sometime. You'll have a different telephone conversation. How many times before you went out to see somebody did you remind yourself that where you were going to see that person, that friend, that client, that prospect, that associate, only God could be? Remind yourself of it and notice the difference in your reception, the difference in your relationship. How many times before you went from one room to another did you remind yourself that only God can be where the other room seems to be? Try it. It's the truth. God being everywhere, it doesn't matter what seems to be happening. The moment you know only God is there, you bring yourself back into my kingdom. And the laws of my kingdom then must express. You consciously must be aware of the presence of God. And where are you? Is God there? Are you aware of God being there? Is there any distance between you there and God there? Are you two? Or can you, like the Master, say, I and the Father are one? If God is there, and God is the Spirit, and you are there, and you are the Spirit, that knowledge, that oneness, that acceptance, brings the law of grace functioning. And when you meditate again, who is meditating? I, the Spirit, am being still. I, the Spirit, am releasing the sense of humanhood. That's what your meditation really is. Releasing the sense of humanhood. I, the Spirit, have nothing to seek. I'm all there is. You know when you dial that phone and you dial long distance and you hear all those little clickety-click-click-clicks all over? All of the circuits are being opened up to send your call through. The minute you catch the truth of being, there's an infinity of clickety-clicks throughout the Father's universe. You're one with it. You're in that automation whereby, having accepted the presence of God where you are, where everyone is, my peace can come to you. You're accepting the miracle of infinity where you are, no less. Infinite God where you are, always. You can even feel the change in your consciousness when you do. There's an inner response. Now this moves us up beyond all of our rational thinking, all of our rational planning, into that realm which is beyond mind and beyond form. We're not fed by the world. We're fed by the Word of the Father. The infinite inner Word of the Father becomes our substance. And it carries with it infinite divine power of perfection. It doesn't depend on human beings. It functions where the human being is absent and then present with the Lord because of it. Exit mortality, enter divine. That's the universe of light we should now be experiencing frequently as a preparation for my peace. The chapter in Joel is called Revelation of Spiritual Identity. Spiritual identity has no second identity. Spiritual identity walks through the grave, through the tomb. Spiritual identity has no life to lose. It has no physicality to lose. It has no human experience to lose. It is all totally divine. That is where our consciousness should be resting, in the divinity of being.
I think maybe we ought to pause here. We're going to finish the 14th chapter of John. We're going to finish the chapter, Revelation of Spiritual Identity. We want to prepare next week so that we can proceed with the 15th chapter of John, I Am the Vine, and the next chapter of Joel, which is It Shall Not Come Nigh Thee. So I hope that this will be our schedule for the next session after the intermission, to complete these chapters.